The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
His Bradness is here with you for two more hours of the PBC show. Stuck in the middle and couldn't be happier.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Oh, yes, I do.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Yeah, it's right enough.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle for two more hours on the PBC show. And we're going to have Scott Dick momentarily here, the regular weekly military affairs expert on the Peter B. Collins show. We're also going to be joined by Mike Zakea, an Iraq veteran who was responsible for training Iraqi troops. He's going to be with us momentarily as well. And then coming up in our third hour, it's our daily election integrity hour. Yes, you heard Christine Jennings from Florida. She that was an election integrity hour bonus is what that was. Wanted to make sure I hit her website because she does need our support. She is a candidate who will fight for election integrity. I do believe, of course, now that what has happened to her has happened to her. So please stop by ChristineJenningsForCongress.com. ChristineJenningsForCongress.com. She announced today that she is running for election in 08, re-election as I see it. And she also broke the news here that she's now getting word that July 27th we'll still be doing the Peter B. show by then. I think that's next Friday. The GAO is going to be meeting for a closed door meeting in Congress with the House Administration Committee to bring back their findings on what they found in their investigation of her election down there, where 18,000 votes disappeared. She's still challenging it. It's a closed-door meeting, that one, but we will see if we can work our sources and find out what happened for you. All right. We are moving on. Scott Dick, some military matters here. Lots of military stuff.
We're sorry.
He's not there. Well, we're working on getting Scott Dick. He'll be with us shortly for the whole hour, and we will take your calls in as much as I can get them in. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Also, please stop by the Brad blog, where I'm trying my best to keep an eye on the open thread over there. Agent 99 is kindly hosting us there. The top item, if you click on comments, you can jump in there and give us your 2 cents, and I will try to notice them, and you can get questions to us there as well. Otherwise, we're working. Oh, we did have him, but we're lost again. All right, we'll be back with him shortly. We're going to talk about a couple of news items that happened in the past week here concerning military issues. One is the resignation of Jim Nicholson from the Bush hack, shall we call him, the VA head. He quit, or was he pushed? That we don't know. We'll see if Scott Dick knows. And also this unbelievable issue about the Pentagon that was reported earlier this week at USA Today. The Pentagon balks at pleas from officers in the field in Iraq for highly, what do we call these things? MRAPs is the short, mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles. For years, folks in the field have been asking for them, and in fact, they were deployed only recently by the Marines up in Fallujah, where they sustained some 300 attacks, as I recall, without a single death. Unfortunately, these vehicles apparently were given to the Iraq military, but not to the American military, which is simply extraordinary. USA Today reports years before the war began, Pentagon officials knew of the effectiveness of another type of vehicle other than the armored Humvees that they had been using and fighting to get armored. Pentagon knew about this other vehicle that better shielded troops from bombs like those that have killed 1,500 soldiers and Marines. These are folks who were killed by these improvised explosive devices. But military officials repeatedly balked at appeals from commanders on the battlefield and from the Pentagon's own staff to provide life-saving mine-resistant ambush protected vehicles, or MRAPs, for patrols and combat missions. The USA Today did an investigative report, uncovered a lot of emails on it, and what was really going on behind the story while the Bush administration was telling everyone that they were listening to the commanders in the field. Guess they weren't. They were just kidding. We've got Scott Dick. He's got some thoughts on this. Scott Dick, do we have you now?
I'm here, Brett. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you, my friend?
Good.
I don't know when you jumped in there, if you heard my setup for this piece. This is an incredible story about these MRAPs and the fact that they've been trying for years to get these in the military. What was the holdup, Scott Dick?
Brad, there's a couple things going on here. One is the yesterday there was a Pentagon briefing on this issue because it is reached hasn't reached the proportions of the scandal at the big hospital out in D.C.
Walter Reed.
Thank you. But it's going to get there, I think. And one of the things that the reporters tried to get out of the brass was, you've known about these vehicles since the 1970s. Your commanders in the field were asking for them, and you denied the request. And they're like, wait a minute, we're not guilty of this. The Marine Corps takes care of its own, the Army takes care of its own. And now these are three-star generals talking. The thing that bugs me is that normally the Marine Corps, the commandant of the Marine Corps, each one has been famous for their intestinal fortitude, standing up in front of the press, in front of Congress, and saying, yes, we screwed up. That's not happening with this deal. And to explain to folks about the MRAP, I heard you talk about them just briefly. What kills troops if they're not killed outright in the explosion in an armored Humvee is, first of all, traditionally tanks are armored on the sides, the front, and the top. Tanks are even vulnerable to a certain extent on the hull armor in the bottom.
Right.
Humvees just have the sheet metal that'll eventually rust through, and you can see light through. I mean, it's built like any other Jeep or vehicle.
And is this the up-armored Humvees or the regular Humvees?
Up-armored. They chose to only armor the sides and the top and the glass. They put in ballistic glass. And what happens is when there's an explosion, you have to be incredibly unlucky to be killed by the direct impact of the solid object itself. For example,
right,
these new penetrators, it's a copper molten plug that penetrates. And if you're in any kind of proximity to that, it'll kill you. There's something else called spall, and spalling is when one piece of metal hits another piece of metal, the piece of metal that it hits explodes, and you can be killed from those pieces of metal as well. It's a shrapnel effect, or what they call spalling. So they didn't armor the bottom of the vehicle, only the sides, the tops, and the glass.
And now, and just so I understand this before we move on, this is on the Humvees, not on the MRAPs that they didn't get, but on the Humvees themselves. Now, they sent these Humvees out. We were fighting for years, and we were hearing noise and people, you know, complaining that those Humvees themselves weren't even up-armored.
The Humvees are built just like the ones not even as nice as the ones you see on the street. If you see the older ones that were sold commercially, they have canvas doors and canvas tights. Canvas tops and normal glass.
Right.
So when a bullet doesn't even slow down going through the canvas.
Right.
On one of
those things. Of course. So that's what they sent out originally, right?
That's what they sent out originally. Now they have up armored Humvees. We had a few in the Balkans with us in Bosnia, and they gave them to MPs because they did a lion's share of the police work. And when they sent out VIPs, they put them in the up armored Humvees. But the bottoms were still. They're made to repel a small arms fire. They don't even do that well with an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade. So they sent out these kits, and this would generate the kid. Remember the famous question that reservists, leave it to reservists, to ask Rumsfeld directly, you know, why do we have to scrounge in dumps to put armor in our vehicles? They were literally going out, and if you look carefully, folks, at the pictures of the vehicles in Bosnia, let me think about Bosnia, in Iraq.
Yeah.
It reminds one of the armor they put on the vehicles in Vietnam, for God's sakes, where you see the torch marks from some great sergeant welder in the motor pool saying, hey, let me put this armor on this vehicle for you. And that's what the kid was complaining about. They didn't even have armor kits. So then they got the industrial base to produce these attached, bolted-on armor kits. Can you imagine what an armor kit would do to your POV, your own personal car?
Sure.
So they had all those issues as well.
And that was just fighting for the Humvees. Why we weren't fighting for the MRAPs in the first place is another question. But listen, I want to, Scott, Dick, we're going to be back with you for the entire hour here. So sit tight. We're going to come back with Mike Zakea from IAVA.org. He was in Iraq training Iraqi units, where I'm sure he's got some thoughts on the MRAPs, because I think the Iraqis got them, even if the Americans didn't. So sit tight with us. We're going to be back with much, much more. Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for our good friend who's somewhere in Italy right now. We're back with much more in a minute.
Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Everyone wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
And let's take a look at the very latest, starting off with a big problem in San Jose right now. And this is, let's see, CHP telling us about, as our page gets updated, there we go, Kirtner Avenue between Canoas Garden and Old Almaden Road, completely shut down in both directions. A big rig hit the Almaden Expressway overcrossing, and so San Jose PD is on scene. Again, this is a major problem if you're traveling there. Santa Cruz northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp remains shut down there for long-term road work. Monterey northbound 1 at Mundrus. We have a car in the center divide involved in the crash. Also northbound 1 before 218, a five-vehicle crash in the center divide being reported there. CHP and a fire department actually being called out there as well. And the support brought to you by Die Hard Batteries, the new Die Hard Platinum battery with evolutionary technology, available at Sears.
So long. We We did our best to let them know that we care for every last one of them that's over there. Whether we belong over there or not, somebody over here loves them and needs them. Well, now that's about all that there is to tell about that little trip into living hell. And if I ever go back over there anymore, hope there's none of our boys there for me to sing for. I hope that war is over with and they all come back home to stay in peace.
Amen, Brother Johnny. You're listening to the PBC Show. I'm Brad Friedman, your guest host, sitting in for the next week or so. We're speaking with Scott Dick, the regular PBC military affairs specialist and contributor to the show. We're joined by Mike Zakea from the IAVA, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans Against the War, IAVA.org. Mike was a major in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. He was a senior advisor to the 1st U.S. military-trained Iraqi Army Battalion. He spent a year building training and leading the battalion in combat operations and was based with his Iraqi battalion in Kirkush, Taji, and Fallujah, was actually wounded in the Battle of Fallujah. Mike Zakea, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Zakea, Mike, thanks for joining us here this afternoon. We were just talking with Scott about this this MRAP issue that I suspect you've got some thoughts and some opinions on, and these beyond up armored Humvees that were requested by folks in the military but were not given to the American military. What are your thoughts on this mine resistant ambush protected vehicle? We'll call it a scandal at this point, Mike.
Brad, thank you. Just one thing. The organization I'm from is Iraq and Afghanistan Vets of America. We don't take any position for or against the war.
We
only advocate for veterans' rights and benefits.
You're right. I'm going to fire my producer as soon as we're done with this show. Good point. Okay. Thank you for correcting me there.
Yes. The MRAPs. The first 6 months I was in Iraq, I drove around in a Nissan pickup truck with metal plates hung over the sides.
Wow.
I did not get an armored Humvee until right before we went to Fallujah, and thank God we did, because I have pictures of it. It's literally riddled with bullets and some RPG dents that didn't explode. But, very recently a Major General, who's a division commander in Iraq, his name is Major General Lynch, did an interview where he said that his division had been attacked by these Iranian explosively formed projectiles 33 times, yet he still did not have any MRAPs. Mm. I think you'd call it a scandal now. The point is that before we started fighting World War II, if we had ended World War II with the same army that we started, we would have lost. But that's exactly what the Bush administration is trying to do. They're not using any of the technological advances that we could take advantage of to take care of our troops, and that's a real scandal.
Well, now, why do you think that is? USA Today had some thoughts on that, but I'd love your opinion. Why aren't they getting this done after, 5 years into this thing?
We're well into our fifth year, unfortunately. I don't know why, and I don't know why Major General Lynch is not standing on top of the desk screaming to get MRAPs while his troops are being decimated by these EFPs. It really is scandalous, and that man should have to respond to congressional inquiry about why he's not taking care of his troops.
Now, I understand that the Iraqi troops actually were getting MRAPs. Can you confirm that?
The Iraqi troops are not getting MRAPs. I was there at the beginning when they started forming the Iraqi Armor Brigade, and it was really a mishmash or a hodgepodge of old armored vehicles from various countries that were part of the so-called Coalition of the Willing that were basically thrown together. There were mostly Soviet-style armored vehicles from Eastern European nations that have found democracy in since 1990. So from Hungary and Czechoslovakia and Poland mm-hmm. are contributing armored vehicles to the Iraqi army.
Mm. So they're in no better shape than the American troops out there.
No, I couldn't say that they're in better shape. You can make a pretty good argument that they're in worse shape than the American troops as far as armor is concerned. I think that at this point we know that the Humvees are just not strong enough to withstand the blasts from the IEDs and from the EFPs.
Yeah, and the fact that these things were developed 20 years ago, that for years they've been talking about them, but it seems it's only been in the last few months that they're even beginning to move these things now. Scott, Dick, do you have any thoughts or questions for Mike Zakea?
Well, Mike, maybe you can help me out here, because I haven't been in Fallujah or in Iraq at all, but the reports I've read, it says that even the acceleration, the instant acceleration from a bomb blast underneath and even an armored Humvee is what kills our troops as much as the blast report. Have you seen anything like that, Mike? I mean, even the low weight has a tendency to do our own troops in.
I'm sorry, couldn't hear that last part?
Oh, even there's a difference in, you know, if a bomb goes underneath a tank, it might move it, but it moves it slowly. And they're saying that the rapid acceleration of even an up-armored Humvee also causes casualties, even if the blast doesn't penetrate.
Oh, yes, absolutely. People don't realize how strong these explosions are. Some of these explosions can flip a Stryker vehicle. A Stryker vehicle is an armored vehicle. It's more than like a Bradley, but less than a tank. Can flip one of these things over. It can toss a Humvee 100 feet in the air. I mean, they're really tremendously powerful, and, you know, we have not fielded the technology that's available to withstand these blasts.
And Mike, it says in this report that the JEDO, the Joint IED Defeat Organization, has a $3 billion budget, and apparently they're looking for some gee whiz Star Wars solution when these MRAPs, the Cougar and the Buffalo, were right in front of their face.
I don't know. It's unbelievable. I mean, it really defies logic or reason why we haven't done this and why we haven't accelerated the acquisition of these things and the fielding of these things.
It certainly does. Listen, we have to get out here for the bottom of the hour. Mike, I know you had to. Are you able to stay for one more segment? If you can't, I understand. But I'd sure love to talk to you about another issue or two, if you have the time.
Sure. I can stay around.
Are you sure? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I appreciate that. We're speaking with Scott Dick, the regular PBC military affairs expert, and Mike Zakea, who's served bravely in Iraq and was, in fact, injured in Fallujah. Much more military affairs, your calls, and much, much more. Give us a shout at 888-5-PETER-B. We're going to be back right after this.
I saw a face. Shower door, cowboy smile, came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't think it would.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Worldwide investing through the eyes of experience for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments. Gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. How can we really know whether some country that's claiming to develop nuclear technology strictly for electric power isn't secretly doing it to make nuclear bombs? It isn't easy, but scientists are building a device that should help. More after this. I've done a lot of traveling, and I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler like me speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Don't be surprised, because, you know, in Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner.
Looking to get more laps from a gallon of gas? Make a pit stop for expert service at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, up to 5 quarts, tire rotation, and much more. Just $36.95 or less. Race in for savings to your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Hurry, Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Taxes and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. Offerings 9907.
It takes days of work in special labs for weapons inspectors to analyze radioactive spent fuel of nuclear reactors to figure out whether it's for electric power or for nuclear weaponry.
Often the fuel has to be cut up and analyzed chemically.
Physicist Joel Ullum is at the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Boulder, Colorado. He says that method is slow, expensive, and dangerous.
Non-destructive techniques for looking at the fuel now have some shortcomings, and that's where we hope to contribute.
His team's creating a gamma ray detector to measure plutonium and uranium emissions. By measuring the heat the radioactive material makes, the detector identifies suspect material 10 times more accurately.
Since these materials are unstable, they decay and they give off photons, they give off light, and the more accurately you can determine the energy or color of that light, the more accurately you can determine the material that was present.
Instead of several days, the inspectors will have the answer in a matter of hours.
We have a way to generate a much more accurate fingerprint of complex mixtures of these particular elements.
When the detector is complete, Ulam says it could help weapons inspectors find out the truth.
You could imagine, say, a country that had been outside the existing treaties and then had decided to come back into the treaty regime. This would be used to verify their accounts of how they had operated their nuclear reactors while there were no inspections.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away. But the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
Yeah, every time I call my baby, try to get a date, my boss says,
"No die, son, you gotta work late."
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime.
Well, your cure is the Peter B. Collins Show this week and next, when I'll be sitting in for the good Peter B. We're speaking with our military affairs expert, Scott Dick, along with Mike Zakea from IAVA.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Not necessarily against the war, that we don't know. And, of course, we should know that, because we love Paul Rykoff. Been reporting on him at BradBlog.com for ages. A great hero. As is Mike Zakea, who worked with the Iraqi troops in Iraq and was wounded in Fallujah. Well, when were you on duty in Iraq, Mike?
I arrived there in March of 2004, and I came home in March of 2005.
Did you come home due to the injury, or?
No, I did not. I was wounded on November 11th during the battle, and they wanted to medevac me, and I declined to be medevaced, and that was probably, you know, it was a thing to do at the time, but I probably should have been, you know.
And, Mike, you had mentioned when we had, actually, when we opened the segment with you and said Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans Against the War, you made the point to correct us there. It's Veterans of America. And speaking to Desi before the show, you mentioned that you were a centrist on this. Now, I've seen military.com, do I have it here, a big poll out over the last day or so from military.com. Their readers, 60% of them are in favor of withdrawal. 40% of them immediately, the rest of them by the end of 2008. Do you have an opinion on this, given the topics we're talking about? Do you have an opinion?
I do, as a matter of fact. I think that there have been, well, first, let me say that a lot of people have agendas and want the American people to believe one thing or another about the war.
Indeed.
So on the right-hand side, you're going to have, you know, people who are painting the rosy picture, who, you know, walking around in downtown Baghdad without armor and all this kind of stuff. On the other side, you're going to have people who are saying everything is terrible there. The truth is, there's good, there's bad, and there's ugly, like there isn't any war. And my personal objective is to make sure that everybody understands the good, the bad, and the ugly about this war. That said, I believe that we are being successful in some parts and we are failing in other parts, and I think that we should exploit success where we have had it. And I have written and I've said publicly that I believe that we should reinforce our successes in northern Iraq and Kurdistan and maintain a presence there, but sort of pull out of the Shia and Sunni areas, or we could stay in the Sunni areas, but because that seems to have turned in the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that things are getting better in the sense that there's not more electricity production, there's not more oil production, there's not sharing of oil revenues. Turkey is now shelling Kurdistan and launching airstrikes into Kurdistan. There's not less corruption in Iraq. So, you know, in that respect, we failed, or are failing thus far. I don't know that we can ever fix those things.
That's the question. Can it be turned around at this point?
Can it be turned around? There was a time a couple years ago when I first came back that I believed it could. At this point, I don't necessarily think that it can be turned around without a massive infusion of troops. I'm talking on the order of 500,000.
Mm.
A lot has been said about this so-called surge. And it's not a surge. What this is, in military terms, coming from somebody who studied military tactics and warfare for more than 20 years, this is a spring offensive. And there have been thousands and thousands of spring offensives in the entire history of warfare. And the thing about spring offensives is that if they are not decisive in the spring, they fizzle out in the summer. They're no longer sustainable. And that is what's going on right now.
Mm. Scott, any thoughts?
I think that's a brilliant assessment. I hadn't really looked at it in terms. But when I first started talking about the surge with Peter B., the issue was I also was in favor of either do this right and send a quarter of a million more troops or get out because it's a slow bleed. And our Pentagon leadership is not being honest with us. And if you got time, Brad, I want to play this clip. Mike, you can listen, or if you have to get out, sorry. But it's our senior leadership at the three-star level, they're not being honest with the American people.
That's absolutely correct. I completely agree. Our senior leadership, and not just at three-star level, I think that just about any general is not being honest with the American people. I think that at the end of the war, a review of every general's performance that has to do with this war, every general, their performance should be reviewed, and there should be a decision made about whether they can continue to wear the uniform or not.
Well, I hate to be dense. Look, you guys are military experts, not me. But if we can't count on the senior military officials, we can't count on the White House, the Pentagon. We were talking about this MRAP issue. I mean, and if things are not getting better after all of this time, guys, what are our options here at this point?
See, and that's the whole issue. See, Brad, this is one of the things that really irks me. You got these generals coming out on a Pentagon briefing yesterday saying, yeah, we're doing what we can. And all they wanted to talk about, they didn't want to talk about anything prior to yesterday. They only wanted to talk about the acceleration of the MRAP program. But here in 2004, 13 months, April 28th and 29th, 13 months after the war started, you go to the war with the war army you have, not the army you want, except every smart commander waits and goes to war on an optional war when they're ready. Duncan Lang, who's a Pentagon analyst, wrote that and briefed that a purchasing a version of the MRAP, the Werewolf, and he put it before the Joint Chiefs in December of 2003, a number said in an email to colleagues and supervisors, could be sent to Iraq as quickly as or even more quickly than additional armored Humvees. He called it frustrating to see the pictures of burning Humvees while knowing that there are other vehicles out there that would provide more protection. And both of you guys, I did a story on the Buffalo a year ago with Peter B. telling about this vehicle that they were the IED guys were using and how it was pretty dang, because I first saw a picture of it, but there was no caption about what it was. It was in the background. I thought, what is that? Because I know my armored vehicles. And I did some research and found out it was a Buffalo. So some people had them over a year ago.
And that's one of the Buffalo is one of the brand names, if you will, for the MRAP?
Yeah, and just the bottom line is, folks, it's an armored vehicle with a boat-shaped V-hull. And so when a big bomb goes off underneath it, the V-hull splits the explosion and channels it off to the sides. Just hope you're not an infantryman. Well, if you're standing next to it anyway, you'd be dead. But the point is, it doesn't have the same effect that it would. Bottom of a tank is relatively flat. Bottom of a Bradley, I don't know about a Stryker. I've never been on one. But, Mike, are they pretty flat, too, on the bottom?
Yes, they are. They have a very slightly bowed front, the front of the vehicle is very slightly bowed, but not enough to really deflect the blast. I actually have pictures of Strykers that have been burnt and melted as a result of the heat from IEDs that have hit them.
Scott, do you have that tape? You said you had a couple of clips about a minute long. We should have time to get them in here before we have to get to another break. You want to play one of those clips for us?
Yeah, this is the one where this is. I call this lame answer to a good question. Hang on.
Okay.
Senators Bond and Biden have expressed concerns to the Secretary that as many as 700 soldiers have died, troops have died, because these vehicles weren't sent to Iraq sooner. Can you respond to that? How should they have been sent sooner?
I think that particularly with the Marine Corps, we're in a constant assessment of what the threat is, and as we assess that threat, then we look at what capabilities that we need to bring on. If you look back, we came back into Iraq late 03, early 04, and that particular time, the threat was mainly RPGs and small arms fire. As the ramp up in IEDs occurred, then we put together what we think was a holistic reaction to it. For instance, we introduced lightning pods on Harriers and Hornets, which allowed us to participate in non-traditional ISR. We developed add-on kits for the Humvees. We increased our capability in terms of other intelligent operations. We continually looked at where the threat was coming from, and then as we continued, we made a decision to go to all up-armored Humvees, the M114s.
So, Mike, what's a lightning pod on a Harrier, which is a jet fighter? What does that have to do with protecting our guys from blasts?
As far as I can tell, nothing.
Exactly. So that answer was so lame. He talked around we did other things, like we got our intelligence guys smarter, and we got new cell phones, and we got these new enhanced MREs. I mean, I'm being facetious, Brad, but it's the same thing. Hey, we got new menu choices for meals ready to eat. So, of course, we're constantly evolving.
Yeah, this was a Marine Corps guy, right?
Lieutenant General Castelau. He's the deputy commandant for acquisition and research. He's supposed to be a smart guy.
Yeah, what do you
think? A little bit disappointing, especially coming from a Marine general who should be more of a street talker.
Go ahead, Scott.
No, I was so underwhelmed when I watched this. I had to watch it twice. I said, yeah, this is a Lieutenant General who works for the commandant. He's a deputy commandant, and that's what he had to say. You know, there's report after report in this story since April of 2004 that people have been telling the press, the Pentagon brass, about these MRAPs, these different vehicles. You know, they devised the stupid name MRAP, these boat-shaped vehicles that could survive or withstand or do better than Humvees. And I've never ridden in the amphibious warfare vehicle, but they're pretty thin-skinned too, aren't they, Mike?
Yes, they are extremely. I can tell you, during the fight in Fallujah, they had their armor in the front, but they're vulnerable to attack from the side of the rear, and the insurgents knew that, and we lost several of those to back shots, unfortunately. Now, you also made a point that I sort of want to expand on. During World War II, there were a tremendous amount of technological innovations, even just in the Marine Corps, especially the perfection of amphibious warfare, including the landing boats. And we fielded those in a matter of less than 4 years. We're, as you pointed out at the beginning of the segment, we're well into our fifth year, and we still don't have these things.
Mike Sakea, what brought you to the IAVA.org? Was there a... why are you joining with those folks to speak out on these issues?
It began in October of 2005. When I first got back from Iraq, I was not in good shape. I had a lot of problems physically, mentally. In October, I was, I don't know if you remember the, they haven't done it again, but the video teleconference that President Bush had with 10 American soldiers and
yes.
one Iraqi soldier.
Yes, I do.
And they got an Iraqi soldier who speaks pidgin English, fits a perfect stereotype of a grateful Iraqi, and he gets his chance. He says, "Bush, I like you."
Yes.
And I was so offended by that stereotypical vision of the of an Iraqi, because I lived with the Iraqis for a year, and you could find an Iraqi who speaks English like he's from Brooklyn if you wanted to. And I was so offended by it, I couldn't stand it. And so I started looking on the internet, and I found IAVA, and at the time it was called Operation Truth, and I said, I got to tell the truth about this, because I can't stand this mendacity, this falsehood.
Well, you know what? Bless you for speaking up. And, yeah, Operation Truth's slogan used to be support the troops, listen to them. I try to do that anytime I can. Michael Zakaia, I want to thank you for sticking with us for an extra segment there. And most importantly, thank you for your service to this country, both in Iraq and since you're home. It means the world. Thank you, Michael Zakaia.
Mike,
well,
stay in touch.
I appreciate it.
Mike, stay in touch.
Thank you, Scott. We'll talk.
All right.
All right, very good. We're going to take a quick break. We're back here with one more segment with Scott Dick, our military affairs expert. Oh, boy. How do we get out of this mess? How do we get into this mess? Oh, that's what we talk about in the next hour, our election integrity hour. That's how we got into this mess. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your friendly guest host, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're back for more momentarily.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Well, there we go, taking a look at traffic, and we are going to give you the very latest. We're going to start off with a problem being reported. It is in San Jose. Now, here's the latest on this crash we told you last time. It is a major problem. And this is actually on Kirtner Avenue between Canoas Garden and Old Almond Expressway. It's shut down in both directions. A big read. a big rig hit the Albany Expressway overcrossing there, and San Jose PD on the scene. Monterey, northbound 1 before 218. It's a three-vehicle crash. They've been cleared of the shoulder. Tow trucks are on the scene now. Also in Monterey, northbound 1 at Munris, a two-car crash cleared to the right shoulder. And Santa Cruz County, Highway 1 at Ocean, we have a three-car crash. It's on the right shoulder there. Well, right now it's twice the fun at Great America. Now you can pay once and visit twice. Purchase at a full-price ticket and enjoy a full day of fun. Then come back for a full season only at Great America.
Scott Dick, our military affairs expert, for the rest of the hour here. Boy, Scott, I don't know about you, but whenever I talk to these guys who have served over there, they their insights, you know, I wish they were staying up all night and speaking to these folks in Congress. I think that might make a difference about what's being done up there. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. But if they're not, you know, you got three-star generals and stuff on, testifying in front of Congress and giving reports, and I don't know why everybody thinks that the Petraeus report is going to be anything but the same old, same old.
Yeah, this September. That's what I'm talking about. These guys who come up and testify in Congress, look, they've purged all the generals that, you know, had a different opinion than they did. These guys we hear giving testimony in Congress, these are the guys who have been selected. These are the administration hacks, really. Are they not?
Well, you know, Rumsfeld had a personal... We did a couple of interviews with Joe Galloway, and he wrote We Were Soldiers Once and Young, and he's been in the military correspondence business now since 1964. And so he knows his generals, and he knows all of them. And he knows that the ones that could agree with Rumsfeld are the ones who got promoted and selected. Never before had a Secretary of Defense been involved in selecting 3- and 4-star generals for billets. And they always just the military, the armed service. One of the components, if he needed a new combatant commander, say of the Central Command, the Army, and he wanted somebody from the Army just provided a name. The DOD chief didn't vet those guys. This time, Rumsfeld interviewed them, and that's how he came up with his picks. And so, you know, and then, of course, if people lose their jobs because they disagree with Rumsfeld, then what happens? Everybody suddenly begins to agree with Rumsfeld. And anything that's unpopular, and Brad, I personally sat in staff meetings and had the chief of staff say, at this briefing to the general, no bad news. I've sat in briefings like that.
Really?
Yes, where they said, look... No, like this is we're all one here, right? And looked around at all the different staff components.
Yeah.
And I was a major on a lieutenant colonel staff, and everybody nodded their head yes eventually, or they'd say what, and then you were expected to bring out this dirty laundry in front of everybody. They didn't even want to go behind closed doors and then discuss it with the boss. It was just like, okay, this is what we're going to talk about. No bad news.
Well, and because one of the things here is when these guys speak out, this isn't just their job they're risking. We're talking about their careers. It's not like they can be, fired in the military and go work for someone else's military, right?
Well, yeah, but see, these guys are making $110,000, $130,000. When they retire, like these guys who retired in protest, you know, whoop-de-doo. They're all on corporate boards, and they get jobs, and they're CEOs, or they do something else. They all have really, at this level... big golden parachutes, and so don't spill any tears over somebody who retired in protest. I mean, at least that's a start.
Speaking of retiring, I don't know if he was if he actually quit or if he was pushed out, but the Deputy Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Jim Nicholson resigned this week. Scott, wasn't Jim Nicholson the head of the RNC at one point? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. I know that he's a Bush insider,
yep.
And they say he's a heavily decorated veteran, and I don't know what that means because they say that a lot about people who just have paper awards,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like mine because I've never been in combat. So, you know, I got some hard-working staff medals, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say heavily decorated. I have like four rows of ribbons. Of course, I was on the evacuation of Saigon, so that's something, you know, when I was a kid. But so I don't know really what his credentials are. If, let's say, he is a bona fide, decorated Vietnam veteran, it makes the job that he's done at the VA even worse.
But indeed, and the votevets.org, John Sauls over there said this resignation is long overdue and welcome. Jim Nicholson had no business handling our nation's veterans and was an inept political appointee like Michael Brown at FEMA. Paul Rykoff over at IAVA.org echoed those sentiments that his resignation should be welcome news for all veterans. Desi confirms that, in fact, Jim Nicholson was the head of the RNC. So, of course,
you'd
put him in the job of Veterans Affairs.
Do I have 60 more seconds, Brad?
You do. Take 60.
All right. You know, something that most Americans don't know, as a military historian, we rejected the machine gun when it was first introduced before World War II because it didn't have the spirit of the offense. And we rejected the bazooka, which was invented by a private inventor and shown at a committee, and the Army generals rejected that while they were trying to develop something else. And then we went into war in World War II with substandard anti-tank rounds that literally bounced off German armor. And in one case of a tank battalion, they mistakenly received a set of an ammo shipment from the Brits of these high-explosive anti-tank rounds that destroyed the German tanks with one shot. They were shocked. And when they reported that, they said that, well, that was an accident, that those bullets were really meant for you. And they reissued, after they fired up those bullets, because they wouldn't give them up, they reissued them the old ones. So that's the kind of lack of forward thinking that our military generals get into. And here they spent $3 billion on this stupid campaign to outsmart the IEDs. And the Iraqi insurgents, it just details how they are much smarter in the way that they've got inside of our decision cycles. That's how they call it in military doctrine.
Consequences from the disaster we could have avoided will plague the world long into the future, says the LA Times today.
Yes, indeed.
Looking back over a quarter of a century of chronicling current affairs, I cannot recall a more comprehensive and avoidable man-made disaster. That's what they write. Scott Dick, thank you very much. We'll be talking to you again next week. I appreciate your time here, my friend.
You're welcome, Brad. Anytime.
All right. We're going to be back with our daily election integrity hour. John Gideon is going to give us the details on what happened today. And Emmy Award nominee Rob Cohen is going to be here. And Rebecca Mercury... It's going to be lively.